Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Goodwill Wrestling. This is Will, and I'm here with the one, the only, Rob Naylor. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, man, how come that wasn't louder? I wanted to hear that more. But yeah, what's up, Will? We got a good show for everybody today. We're talking about one of the best wrestlers of all time, my first or second favorite wrestler of all time, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, everyone's favorite. So we're going to discuss Terry Gordy and all the ways, shapes, and forms of his career. And Will, I am stoked for this. And this is the first of hopefully many shows where we will pick out a wrestler, preferably from the 80s, and just dissect their careers. And hopefully you will enjoy listening to such musings and ramblings.
Well, hey, man, let me fill the people in on how we came to do this. Obviously, for those of y'all who have listened to our podcast in the past, you know that usually we get a guest host and we talk about some random topic, whether it's the Four Horsemen or stables or high flyers or whatnot. But Rob and I were talking, and we were thinking about so many different wrestlers from the past that we love and admire their work. And when we were thinking about doing the show, we were like, well, man, you know, it might be 3 months before we can get somebody on to talk about a wrestler. And so we said, fuck it. We're just going to talk about wrestlers ourselves. And so, Rob, let's talk about Terry Gordy. I know you were hyped to talk about this guy. So why don't you fill the listeners in on your first memory of Terry Gordy?
When I was a little kid, I discovered wrestling. Buddy Landell and Pistol Pez Watley, real bloody match I tuned into, and I was like, hey, Dad, what's that? And he's like, hey, Bob, that's two wrestlers, wrestling. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. My dad is Garth, by the way, from Waynesville. And we watched it, and I was like, oh, wow, I love this shit. And then I got to watch, like, AWA was on ESPN, and I remember one of the first memories was I fell asleep because I'm a pussy when I'm, like, 6 or 7, and I missed the Long Riders against the Road Warriors. And the next morning, my dad's like, you missed the damn match in this scene. I'm like, who was it? And he's like, someone finally gave the Road Warriors a tough match, the Long Riders. I'm like, Long Riders, who's that? And then, like, I start liking the Long Riders. But eventually on AWA, we got to see the Freebirds come to the AWA in 1985 when I start watching wrestling. And I was like, holy shit, these guys are awesome. I like their cool flag, which is funny now looking back at it. I was a Southern redneck in training at the time. I was like, yeah, Robbie Lee. But anyway, I loved it. I thought Terry Gordy was awesome. I thought Michael Hayes was cool as fuck. I love David Lee Roth, and I'm a huge Van Halen mark. So I was like, wow, it's like if David Lee Roth wrestled. So I liked him. Buddy Roberts was cool. So, like, Terry Gordy was the man, though. He was a badass son of a bitch, and he beat the shit out of everybody. And he got the big AWA title match with Rick Martel that week. And I just remember Martel bouncing Gordy's big ass all over the ring. And I couldn't believe how quick this big dude was and how he was taking it to Martel. And goddamn, he got cheated out of that AWA belt. But he did lose that match, I believe. And hopefully that'll be on an eventual AWA set, because I have not seen it since. But I do remember enjoying that match thoroughly. And I love the Freebirds from the start. The music, the look, the whole three-person type thing, I thought it was cool. So, yeah, that's my first memories of who would become my favorite wrestler of all time, Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Awesome.
How about you,
Will? I'm a little bit older than you, Rob, so I don't remember actually watching any AWA wrestling until they got on ESPN. But my first memory of Terry Gordy was when those Freebirds, those bastards, pile drove Ted DiBiase three times and sent him to the hospital. And this was, what, 1980, 81 or whatnot? And it's probably one of my very first memories of wrestling, period. Thinking, you know, when my dad, you know, my dad was like, oh, that shit's fake, turn that shit off. But I was like, man, are you kidding me? They just sent a guy to the hospital. You know, and my six-year-old, seven-year-old brain couldn't register that, you know, if a guy got pile drove on the concrete three times, how his life wasn't fucked. And then, you know, for Ted DiBiase to make the miraculous recovery and come back and, you know, feud with the Birds, you know, what, a month later, he must have had the strongest neck ever. So that's my first memory of seeing Terry Gordy. So I was not a fan of Terry Gordy. I was a fan of the Baby Faces, and I hated the Freebirds. I couldn't stand them.
I guess they took that pile driver thing all over because they did not ever show this on TV, but in one of my After Mags, they had a story. They had, like, thumbs up, thumbs down, and they said, thumbs down to Terry Gordy. And they said that the Freebirds attacked Jerry Blackwell, and I knew they feuded with him, but they attacked Jerry Blackwell, and I remember this to this day, because it still perplexes me, and pile drove him on three concrete chairs. Now, I know steel chairs, and I know concrete floors, but somehow there was a concrete chair? I don't know. Probably not. I'm thinking they fucked up when the whole, the editor had a bad day that week or something. Because I don't understand it. But I kept thinking, concrete chairs, that's crazy. I don't know. Anybody, if you're listening to this and you know any kind of distribution of concrete chairs, let me know. I'm still trying to figure it out. But they piled them very black along one, apparently.
I do not remember the concrete chairs, man. In fact, I have no idea what you're talking about. Maybe like concrete bleachers where you sit in the stands where they don't actually have you know, metal bleachers. It's just concrete blocks, you know, for the stands.
Concrete
chairs, man. They pulled them up in the stands and pile drove them. But that'd be kind of scary seeing Jerry Blackwell's fat ass roll down the stairs from the stands after you get pile driven.
Hey, you shut up.
Stairs.
We're doing a Jerry Blackwell show in 1 month.
Love Jerry Blackwell. But, you know,
I do too.
Keep going.
Jerry Blackwell. I'd like to see Jerry Blackwell and Gordy one-on-one. I don't know if that ever happened. I think that it happened, and it was only like 1 or 2 minutes, and the other Birds just jumped in and they beat the shit out of him. And they may have piled drove him on a concrete chair. We don't know. But, like, I know it happened. It sounds like the most awesome match ever.
Well, I have a buddy who specializes in AWA footage. And if it exists, we'll find it. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I think it's on one of your Terry Gordy comps. And I remember seeing a piece of it. No. It's on another comp. When Gordy passed away, some other tape distributor, who I will not name, made a Terry Gordy comp, and one of the matches was Gordy and the guy was really sad about his passing, so he hawked about a bunch of tapes from Terry Gordy, and one of them was Gordy and Jerry Blackwell, and the Birds ran in. Cause I remember being pissed, like homicide, pissed. Because they promised a match, and I thought it would have been the coolest match ever with them two trading punches. And then it all got ruined when those fucking other Freebirds jumped in. But so, yeah, look out. Anybody that has raw footage of any of that AWA, and you saw Gordy Blackwell, let us know. But, Will, where are we going to go from here?
Well, you know, since we were talking about early Freebirds And you're probably right about them taking it around the horn. It's probably like Jim Cornette ending up with his face in the cake, or mm-hmm. you know, where somebody would put on the straight jacket and get beaten up afterwards. You know, one of those angles that you know mm-hmm. got played out in different territories. But this kind of brings me up to the next topic. It was when the Freebirds would break up. And like I said, I'm a little bit older, so I remember when they broke up the first time, which was in Georgia, okay? And I was like, wow, you know, they broke up. I can't believe it. They're brothers, you know? This is going to be a blood feud. And actually an interview where Michael Hayes was talking to Terry Gordy saying, oh, man, I can't believe how you did that, you know? And I go to your house, and you know, I'm the godfather to Little Ray, and Little Ray turned out to be Ray Gordy, you know, the WWE wrestler. Wait, he's no longer in WWE, is he?
Former.
Former, okay. Former WWE wrestler, yeah. Ray Gordy. But so I remember them breaking up the first time. And then, you know, obviously they've broken up after that. But to me, it just doesn't seem right that the Freebirds should break up. You know, when you're brothers and you're bonded by Jack Daniels, man, it just didn't seem right any time that they had a feud. But I know you're going to disagree with me, Rob, and you're going to tell me why now.
Of course, because that's my way. Now, the original breakup, I don't remember any of it. Like Will said, I'm a youngster. So I don't remember any of that shit. Like, I remember...
Hello, Rob?
I remember, like, what's that?
Okay. Yeah, you broke up for a minute there, man.
Did I? God damn it. My cell phone plan can eat a dick. But, no, I remember reading about it 4 years later, and I remember Michael Hayes and Jimmy Snuka. No, Terry Gordy and Jimmy Snuka were a tag team, and Michael Hayes
right.
teamed up with other people, including NFL great Otis Sistrunk. And I only ever will remember that name because obviously I read it in an After magazine. Like, Otis Sistrunk. When I was a little kid and I was collecting football cards, I always wished I'd get his. It never happened, though. But Otis Sistrunk was a wrestler, and there are other people that wrestled, too. I don't, like I said, never even seen any of this shit in hindsight. However, I remember when the Freebirds broke up in Texas in 1988. My family was going on a trip to New Hampshire, and as cool as that fucking sounds, I took a shitload of wrestling magazines and bought wrestling magazines that summer, and I kept up with the Gordy versus Michael Hayes feud. And thank God that Will put out that awesome World Class set, because it literally has an hour of footage documenting the whole Michael Hayes turns good, Michael Hayes shakes hands with the fucking Von Erich, which is like fucking sacrilege at the time. Buddy Roberts slowly loses his friendship with Michael Hayes in a real life story. Like, this is what happened. My two friends. I'm a best friend. My best friend's a drug addict and he's always fucked up. So guess what? We're not as close as we used to be. Well, this is exactly what happened with fucking Buddy Jack Roberts and Michael Hayes. Because fucking Buddy Roberts showed up at a concert all fucked up and he starts shit with the Von Erichs, went to hit one of the Von Erichs with a guitar and hits Michael Hayes with a guitar. So that's chapter one. Then he comes out and apologizes. And then they bring out, like, Iceman Parsons, and he's like, he's going to be a new Freebird, and they call him Blackbird. And Michael Hayes is like, fuck Blackbird, that's stupid. And then he probably called him the N-bomb, too. And, of course, in Texas in 1988, that got a face pop. So anyway, so what happened was, they're all like, yeah, that's funny, you don't like that Negro. So then all that shit went down, and then the Angel of Death came in, and Angel of Death was with the bad guys, too. And Michael Hayes was like, that's bullshit, because don't you remember... It was cool because they actually talked about how the Angel of Death turned on them in UWF a year earlier, which is something cool. I guess Ken Mantell jumped ship, so they just took the storyline with them. So, like, they brought that up, and Gordy would never say, he would never believe that his brother. He's like, I'm not going to turn on you, Michael. And, like, he said he wouldn't do it, and then eventually shit hits the fan. They have this wild fucking brawl. I'm so excited talking about this. This wild brawl all throughout the fucking building. As documented on Will's World Class disc, which I had never seen the Wild Brawl, I just read about it. Blood all over the fucking place. Absolutely awesome. My favorite shit ever. And then they had the big Triple Dome of Terror, and it was the dumbest shit ever with steam cages on top of each other and Michael Hayes against Gordy in front of 2,000 people at the fucking Cotton Bowl. And I don't even remember the match. I remember afterwards they made happy and became friends again. And then, like, I think they skipped the territory. But that was a breakup that's cool. So everybody get out your wrestling magazine from the old days or find some fucking footage of Gordy versus Hayes and Hayes versus Buddy Roberts from 1988 World Class. It was fucking awesome, but it didn't draw shit.
Yeah, I have to mention, Rob, that when Michael Hayes was singing that concert, that guy was horrible. I love the Bad Street USA theme. But God, was he horrible in concert, man. I couldn't believe how bad that concert was. Singing Otis Redding's Dock of the Bay. And I was like, man,
now,
Otis Redding would
live?
Be rolling over in his grave.
You weren't
no,
at it live.
No, man.
God damn it.
No, I wasn't at it live. Yeah, I was there in my Bad Street USA t-shirt about two
yeah,
sizes.
Yeah, you could have lied to me, man. That would have been awesome.
No, I was not there live. I think there were several other concerts in 1988 I would have rather seen, like, I don't know, like Whitesnake or White Lion or something, man. I don't know.
Bullet Boys.
I think I'd have passed them. Yeah, the Bullet Boys, man.
Smooth
Opinion.
Bullet Boys should have been the next Van Halen. I will say that lead singer, that front man, was the next fucking David Lee Roth.
For our next show, man, no matter who's on it, man, the opening theme song is going to be Smooth Opinion, man, guaranteed, just for you, Rob.
Yes.
Or we'll make that the theme song
pipes,
for the next Naylor Cop, all right?
Thank you. That guy had pipes. But anyway... from there, what's our next topic? We'll get the fuck off the Bullet Boys.
I don't know, man. I'm too busy downloading Bullet Boy songs to worry about this. No, but
I know I am.
Yeah, well, I bet you already have like the gold plated collector's vinyl edition of the first album. You know, one of the things, though, that always struck me about Terry Gordy, and from that first moment when I saw him do the pile driver, was that this guy had moves. You know, we always talk about signature moves in wrestling and how sometimes we think guys today use too many moves. Well, to me, Terry Gordy used a lot of moves. I mean, you know, he constructed his matches really well, but he had a ton of moves that, you know, I just never saw before. Like, he was the first guy I ever saw that did a powerbomb. I'm not saying he's the first guy to do a powerbomb. I'm just saying he was the first guy I ever saw to do one. And then, you know, then the Oriental Spike, you know, I mean, it's just a thumb to the throat, man. I didn't understand when I was a kid. He's just jamming a thumb to his throat. But, you know, after you go through biology class and, you know, you learn a little bit more about human anatomy, you're like, wow, he could have really killed him, you know. Heightened his mystique and the mysterious ways of the Orient, you know, for me. What other moves from Gordy do you have fond memories of there, Rob?
I'm going to go back real quick to the Asian Spike or the Asiatic Spike or the Oriental Spike or the Oriental Tool. It had many names, but that was a badass move. I remember Morocco, Fuji, Terry Gordy, and Brian Adias were the only wrestlers in the history of wrestling that I remember doing that move. Like, can you think of any other?
No, I only thought Terry Gordy. I didn't watch a lot of Don Morocco
the
matches.
The Asian Spike, Morocco would do it falling down, and he'd thumb you in the neck. And I remember they called it the Asiatic Spike. But yeah, that was a pretty fucking stupid move. But some of the cool moves are the Gordy clothesline, where he Irish whips you across the ring to the corner, and he follows you in a clothesline. You nobody has ever done that move as cool as Terry did it. And then he would follow it up with classic Bam Bam, which was that weird thing that he did where he'd jump up and down. I thought that was cool. So then he also did the Bam Bam Slam. The Bam Bam Slam is the guy suplexes the dude and gives him the Bam Bam shoulder, and Bam Bam does the power slam off the second rope. Fucking crazy move for someone to be doing. He did the stuffed pile driver. Sometimes he would do a singular stuffed pile driver somehow, but he did a really sweet-looking pile driver. People would assist the pile driver. He what else did he fucking do? He did that cool little move where, like, he'd hook you for a suplex, like a regulation vertical suplex, but instead of picking you up, he'd just turn to the side and do, like, this weird side neck breaker thing. Like, he did a lot of cool shit, man. Like, Gordy was loaded with cool moves, man. I agree. Like, that's what kept me interested. Gordy's bumps, Gordy's kicks, Gordy's punches, and Gordy's moves. And just the way he would beg off, like, he was fucking the best.
His bumps were insane. For being 300 pounds to do those, like, huge
bumps.
Well,
his bumps were cool,
like,
because they were like cartoon bumps. Like, you'd hit him, and he changed trajectory. Last year, true story, I'm shooting here. Last year, I went to train with some professional wrestling people. I got in the ring, and they're like, what can you do? And I'm like, jack shit or nothing, but goddamn it, somebody punch me, and I want to take a fall-away Terry Gordy bump and just splat on the mat. And they're like, what the fuck is that? So then they hit me, and I did this weird thing where I, instead of falling the way I should have, I, like, stutter-stepped and then flew the other way and landed on my head, and it was fucking amazing. They didn't know what the fuck it was. It was sloppy as shit. But I tried to emulate Terry Gordy just because I loved the way he would take that, like, two steps backwards, boom, bump. And it was just wild and so fast, so swift. He'd hit the mat perfectly at the same time, which I could not fucking emulate. really cool.
Well, I think the problem with that, Rob, is that Terry Gordy was, you know, 6'3" and 300 pounds, and you're 5'1" and a buck 10.
Buck 35. He had a lot more weight to cushion his fall, whereas I would just, like, splatter and hurt. So, yeah, I couldn't do it. But, yeah, Gordy's bumps were fucking the thing of legend. Gordy taking a fist from Hacksaw Duggan and, like, falling backwards is, like, the greatest thing ever in wrestling.
Well, you know, speaking of his moves, and the Bam Bam Slam. Now, I look at a move like the Bam Bam Slam, and, you know, even just from the second rope, I mean, it looked like a pretty devastating move. You know, I can understand, like, in today's WWE climate, you know, you don't want to take a Gordy pile driver, you know, or something that looks that dangerous, you know. I don't know if the Asiatic/Oriental spike would get over today in current wrestling, but I think the Bam Bam Slam is a move that would get over to this day, you know, especially if you had like a big monster, you know, climbing the second rope and just dropping on you. But then, you know, and then you look at a move like the FU, which is like a glorified, fireman's carry. Yeah, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But it's just a glorified fireman's carry. It looks like there's no power behind it. There's nothing devastating about it. It's like, as soft as a light body slam. But you think that if John Cena just did the Bam Bam Slam, it would just be so much more devastating than you know, what he's doing today. Hello?
I don't know. I kind of like the FU, or whatever he calls it. What does he call it? That side. Because, like, he falls, the way he falls, the guy usually splats. Like, I don't know. I like that move. I think if you're going to see a Bam Bam Slam, you got to have a tag team do it anyways. It's a tag team move. So I would say fucking Samoans, what do they call them? Usos? I could see them doing it. That'd be kind of cool.
How impressive would it be if John Cena just picked him up and climbed the second rope by himself? You know, I mean,
yeah,
this is a guy who did the FU to the Big Show.
Yeah, that's kind of awkward, though. Like, how can you climb up backwards holding a guy? I mean, I'm sure you could, but it seems to me it'd be taking a little – it'd take a while to do that. Now, some fat-ass dude is on the top rope trying to jump on him, and he climbed up the second rope and just put him over his shoulder and fucking dropped him. That would be awesome. Particularly if it was Mark Henry or the Big Show, and it got botched. And their career
yeah.
ended.
Or you could see one of those guys, or you could see one of those guys like blowing out their knee trying to climb.
I'm just kidding. I don't want anyone's career to end. I'm not that big of a dickhead, but like I just don't like those guys. But yeah, I think it'd be cool to see him do the Bam Bam Slam. But Husky Harris should do the Bam Bam Slam. That's my pick. He's still there, right?
I hope so. Maybe they could rehire Ray Gordy to help him set it up, right?
Exactly. Husky Harris could do that to Low Key. It'd be great.
Or if Luke Gallows was still with him, you know, he would have been another one who could have done something like that.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
He could have been the Terry Gordy to Punk's Michael Hayes, you know.
And Joey could have suplexed the guy up to his arms to do it. But higher minds prevailed, though.
Yeah, I guess so, man. But you know, I just mentioned someone blowing out their knee. And before the show, you told me I had to mention this. So, I mentioned this because Rob told me he'd never do another show with me if I didn't mention Terry Gordy's knee brace. So, Rob, tell us about the knee brace.
Dude, Terry Gordy's knee brace is a thing of legend. Look at that fucking thing. Like, if you have any old Terry Gordy matches, when I was a little kid, I didn't know anything about knee injuries. I just thought dudes had knee pads, and they had no knee pads. And Terry Gordy had, like, the knee pad of all knee pads. He had, like, this tan or white, like, wrap around it. He had a knee pad on. He had some fucking metal device around his fucking leg setting it up. There were buckles and shit on it. I don't know what the fuck was going on. All I know is we all took our AWA Remco wrestlers, and we'd get, like, colored tape, and we'd make them up. This is really stupid in hindsight, but we'd, like, make new wrestlers out of them or change up their gear and shit. And I'd always make the Gordy one. So I'd have, like, this tannish thing around the dude's knee, and I'd get, like, black tape and make a buckle, and I'd like half the fun of pretending you're Terry Gordy with like a G.I. Joe guy or a Remco AWA figure would be like dressing up Gordy the way he's supposed to be. And it's funny because there was a Gordy figure, so I would just change his stupid ass red gear that they put him with, and I'd give him like black tights, white boots, and then there was like this only one giant ass knee pad. One knee was okay, I guess. But like,
so there was a Terry Gordy figure?
One of the first Christmases I remember, I got Buddy, Michael, and Terry Gordy, and they had like the Stars and Bars robes. Yeah, they were in red outfits, red knee pads, and red boots. I remember all this vividly.
Oh wow!
Did
they have the Confederate face paint?
No, they don't. They did not go that route. Maybe some special editions did.
I was gonna say, man, did you paint their faces with the Confederate face paint? You know?
No, we only painted the Road Warriors and Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. And I hated the Road Warrior face painting as a kid because I tried to draw Animal Spider on like a fucking Remco doll head, and it was goddamn impossible. I was like fucking Rembrandt. I think he was a painter. No, he wasn't. I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. Michelangelo, he definitely painted. I couldn't fucking get it to work. But regardless, fuck the Road Warrior and the spider paint. Final word is that Gordy's knee brace was the fucking shit, and it was cool as fuck. And I wish someone else would have a horrible knee injury and come bring that fucking giant brace back because it was badass.
But, well, I don't know, man. Steve Austin, when he was on
dude,
his last
right.
life, man,
yeah,
he had
okay.
two
That's
big,
it.
Big knee braces, man.
Yeah.
I was always afraid that, you know, Austin would do one of those knee drops or something, and the metal in his knee brace would get caught up in someone's face. You know, could you imagine, like, Triple H's nose getting caught up in Austin's knee brace and getting ripped off or something, man?
Dude, can you imagine if Gordy fucking survived and basically was a star throughout the 90s and wrestled Austin in, like, 98, and they both wore their badass knee braces? I'd be fucking losing my mind.
They'd have a battle of the knee braces, man. It'd be like,
yes.
You could take off the other's knee brace and hit him over the head first or something, yeah?
The loser would have to continue their career with their fucking arthritic-riddled knees, and they would never be as good as they could have been because they wouldn't have a brace anymore. That would have been badass. Okay. At Vince Russo, that would have been amazing.
No shit. I don't know, man. Vince Russo, I don't know. He probably would have had Mae Young give birth to a knee brace or something. You know,
I don't know, man.
I think Gordy's knee brace. I can't believe you remember that shit, man.
I spent many an hour in 1988-89 trying to craft that fucking knee brace on my fucking action figure, so I do remember it.
Yeah, God. I remember those AWA action figures were like the He-Man action figures, right, where everybody was built like He-Man, even like Baron Von Raschke and shit, right?
Yeah, but Gordy was softer, and then, like, I had a Jerry Blackwell and a Stan Hansen doll, too. And, like, Jerry Blackwell had, like, this fucking black shit over him, like, a black outfit. But, like, he just had a black outfit over, like, a Terry Gordy build. So I would take cotton balls and stick them in the fucking black outfit. So he'd be, like, fat as shit and stuff, like a real Blackwell.
You can tell we're fucking nerds, man. We're fucking,
we
devise ways of making Blackwell fatter in his action figure, you know?
Yeah, man. You can't have a fucking skinny Jerry Blackwell. Come on, man.
That's hilarious, man. Fucking, okay. So, anyway, I think we have to talk about this. You know, when we had Missy Hyde on and Rob, you've talked to her. She's going to do the show again. We'll talk more about it. But we got to talk about Terry Gordy in Texas. I just released the 1980s World Class set over the summer, and Terry Gordy, I think, in World Class was amazing. I think that, you know, you had Michael Hayes talking, you had Buddy Roberts, who was a really underrated talker, but then you had Terry Gordy on the mic in World Class, and I think that his interviews and his promos really made it believable what the Freebirds are trying to do, because he did not hold back. And I know you're a fan of his interviews, so why don't you just give the people a hint of, like, your favorite Terry Gordy interview moments.
Oh, man. Gordy was such a good interview. Like, no one ever talks about it, because when you have, like, one of the best interviews ever, Michael Hayes right next to you, I mean, come on, you're going to get overshadowed. But, like, he was always good at, like, Michael, we're going to get them on Earth. And, like, he had, like, this anger, too. He'd be like, one time he came in with Michael Hayes to the NWA, and he's like, Jim Ross, you are looking at the greatest. He's like, then what else did he say? He's like, we're back. And he, like, did, like, the we're back thing from Poltergeist. It was awesome. And he's like, what else did he do? I will go on.
Well,
I'll
tell you what he did do. He was feuding with Kamala and Skandar Akbar at one point. And in one of his Fort Worth interviews, he just says, the thing I hate most in this world is dirty black people, or something horribly racist. And the second thing I hate most are you Arabs. Like, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I can't believe he just said this. But then, you know, he's fighting Devastation Incorporated, so he's the baby face. And, you know, being Dallas Texas,
that was
magic. You know, this great progressive town, you know, Dallas, where, you know, they only killed John F. Kennedy. But I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, and just couldn't believe. I mean, here I am 30 years later, you know, just listening to this interview. As I was making either the Terry Gordy comp or amidst the world class sets. I was making, or it's Freebirds versus Von Erich set. I was making a set. And I came across this interview, and I was like, I cannot believe he just said that. But you know, in your heart of hearts, especially after hearing all the trouble Michael Hayes has been through, you knew Terry Gordy believed that. He really hated the big black guys and the Arabs, you know. And I was just like, man, you know. But you're right.
That was
that was
the jingoism of the 80s, Will. I mean, how the fuck are we not, like, completely, like, maladjusted? Like, think about this. Like, wrestling fans in the 80s, you, me, other people who grew up then, we grew up to understand that all Russians were commies and they were all bald. I'm telling you, I didn't understand why the Russians were all, like, when Soldat Ustinov came out and he had hair, I didn't believe he was a Russian because he wasn't bald. When I met, well, not, I didn't meet Russians, but when there were Russians I'd see with hair, I never believed it because Gorbachev didn't have hair. I don't know if Yeltsin had hair, I don't really remember. But, like, we believed all black people had hard heads. That's a really fucking stupid one.
So we should do a
Samoan
whole show
people,
on, like, racial stereotypes, man.
Exactly. All Samoan people had hard heads. And Andre the Giant was French, but only Andre had a hard head. Any fucking idiot, like, 10 years later will see that everyone that had afros had a hard head. That makes sense because you have the afro that, like, cushioned the headbutt. But, like, there was all that.
Don't forget
that every
black wrestler had to dance. Every black
wrestler
had to dance all the way to the ring.
Fucking Iran. We hate fucking Iran. And there was the Iraqis were always bad guys. Dude, what changed it all, though, more so than when Rocky and what the fuck is that guy? Drago.
Clever Lane.
And Rocky IV. No, Drago, the guy from Rocky IV, the Russian guy. When Nikita Koloff came out after Magnum was in the accident, helped Dusty, man, I was, like, putting up Gorbachev posters in my room the next week. I was fucking loving Russia. And, like, it's just that whole fucking, that crazy effect that wrestling had on the young 9, 10, 11-year-old mind at the time. It's like, holy shit. But, yeah, man, that's the way it was. They were very nationalistic.
Do you still have that Gorbachev poster hanging up in your house there, Ron?
Unfortunately not. I'll have to find it next time I'm at my parents.
Yeah.
No,
I have my Boris Yeltsin commemorative plates and shit. They still got their mic up in the garage. So. Goddamn. Your fucking Gorbachev poster. I can't believe that. Well, speaking about Russians, okay, the territory known for the Russian feuds was Mid-South. Now, for me, this is when I really became a die-hard wrestling fan. I mean, I'd been watching wrestling since I was, you know, 6 years old. But I just moved to Texas. And then the Freebirds followed me to Texas, right? And, I had to watch that feud. And then Mid-South wrestling, you know, became UWF, and we got the syndicated UWF show. And then the Freebirds show up in UWF, and I was like, my God, my wrestling fandom is correlated with where the Freebirds went, you know. And to me, the Freebirds in UWF were really a high spot. And one of my high spots as a kid was actually watching the Freebirds in action here in San Antonio. So what about the Gordy and Mid-South and the Freebirds and Mid-South sticks out for you?
Gordy and Mid-South, Gordy and UWF was the greatest ever. Like, peak of his career, possibly peak of my wrestling fandom. I didn't even get to see it till 10 years after it happened. I remember in the PWI magazine, there was a big tournament held in Houston, not round robin, but invitational tournament with everybody in it, and they had photos of Gordy winning it, and Gordy beat Coco Ware. Gordy beat Doc, and I think Gordy beat Ted DiBiase in the semis, and then Gordy wrestled Hacksaw Duggan. Hacksaw Duggan was another one of my favorite fucking wrestlers at the time. And when he came to WWF, I liked him too, but like Hacksaw Duggan.
Oh, don't even get me started on that, man.
But yeah,
don't
I love
Hacksaw Duggan.
Don't get
me started on Duggan and WWF. Mid-South, Duggan was amazing.
Yeah, no, Duggan, when he first got to WWF, was good, though. But like Duggan in Mid-South was the man, and Duggan versus Gordy was like the fucking power struggle. So like that was cool. Gordy beat Duggan clean with a pile driver in the finals. Before that happened, One Man Gang came out with that dirty fucking Iraqi money that Skandar Akbar was going to give him, and then they fucking beat the shit out of him. They beat the shit out of him. This is going to be the highest rated show internationally we've ever done, Will. But he came out, he attacked Jim Duggan, and then Jim Duggan had a fucking, his brain hemorrhage, and like they fucking gave a pressure bandage on his fucking head, and he's going to die. And then like he came out and valiantly fought Gordy, knocked him on his ass a couple times, and then finally he succumbed to a So he does the stuff,
Rob.
File driver, and pins
him
1-2-3.
Well, I think we have some technical difficulties. Rob's phone is acting up. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a little bit of Freebird music here to let Rob get back on the line. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. Give us 2 minutes. And Rob will be back to tell us more about his memories of Terry Gordy in UWF. Maybe not. Hello, Rob.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Rob.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. Rob, are you back?
Hello? Yo, can you hear me?
Hello, Rob.
Will, am I on the radio?
Ever dreamed of owning your own home? If you're a council or housing association tenant, the government's Right to Buy scheme could open the door for you. Because now you can get up to £77,900 off the price of your home. So why not find out if Right to Buy can open the door for you? Call an advisor on 0300 123 0913 or go online to righttobuy.gov.uk.